And the death in a Navy SEAL firefight of Osama bin Laden is our top story this morning. I'm John Huckenberry with Celeste Headlee live at Ground Zero. Celeste?
Good morning, John. And with me is Marianne Power, who has been here since... What time did you get here, Mary?
3:15.
Marianne, your daughter was in the World Trade Center when the 9/11 tragedy occurred, right?
Yes. Thank God she survived. She got out of Tower 2.
And why did you come down here?
I lost so many friends and acquaintances, and I just had to be here to keep vigil for them so that they could find their closure and maybe move on.
Do you feel like you have closure now?
Some. I feel kind of ambivalent about the day, but I do feel like sacred ground may be just that much more holier now.
But you do feel like you have justice?
Peace. Maybe not justice just yet, but peace for sure, yeah.
John, that's the kind of sentiment we're hearing from people who are gathered here. We're in front of the memorial preview site and across the street from the World Trade Center. The crowd is beginning to thin. I imagine it will get thinner as the workday begins. But people like Marianne Power here came to hold vigil.
Surrounded by people who are sort of draped in the American flag and who are thinking carefully about what has just happened and the future. Celeste Headlee live from Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan, where people are reacting to the news that Osama bin Laden is dead. One other story we want to focus on. Libya's foreign minister has apologized to the United Nations after angry mobs ransacked UN offices in Tripoli. The attacks came in response to news that one of Muammar Gaddafi's sons and three of his grandsons had been killed by a NATO airstrike. You're listening to The Takeaway, where you can always reach us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE. Continuing now, really, we're going to pose some of those questions that our listeners have posed all morning. What does this mean? Osama bin Laden is dead. He's a symbol, sure. Is he a martyr? Does he actually drive the militancy of al-Qaeda going forward? And what of al-Qaeda? And what of Pakistan, where Osama bin Laden was ultimately found? Joining us now to discuss all of that is Lydia Khalil, former counterterrorism analyst at the New York Police Department, on the line from Australia. Lydia, good morning.
Good morning.
And Christine Fair, who's spoken with us many, many times on this program, Assistant Secretary at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University, on the line from Washington, D.C. Christine, good morning to you.
Thank you for having me.
Christine, let me just, so many questions. I mean, whither Pakistan, whither Afghanistan? This really sets the entire policy in that region on its head in some sense. Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, I think that is really too premature to say. So, for example, the Taliban's ties to al-Qaeda, I have always said on this program and elsewhere, have been greatly exaggerated. They had longstanding, ambiguous relations with al-Qaeda. So I don't see this, putting a death blow to the Taliban by any means. The groups that I study, for example, Lashkar-e-Taiba, had at best tenuous ties to al-Qaeda. They didn't need al-Qaeda to get their nasty job done. And, of course, you know, I have come to think of bin Laden, you know, apart from being the mastermind of al-Qaeda, but in a larger sense, he had sort of become a new Che Guevara for a new generation of possible activists, in the sense that most people that you see these Che Guevara T-shirts don't know that he was a murderous thug. In that same way, bin Laden had become sort of a symbol for people that wanted to deal blows to the West and to the United States in particular. So I think we should be cautious about what this really means in terms of the security to the United States and to Americans and our allies.
But as just a, you know, silly American citizen wandering the streets, as I am this morning, or will pretend to be, if bin Laden is gone, there's nobody in Afghanistan who's our enemy. The Taliban wants to take over Afghanistan. Lashkar-e-Taiba is more interested in India and, the situation in the disputed territories in South Asia. Why be in Afghanistan? Why have such a presence in Pakistan now?
I think so. As you know, I'm pretty much opposed to the counterinsurgency effort against the Taliban. You and I are in absolute agreement on that. I'm not sure that just because bin Laden is dead that we can write the epitaph of al-Qaeda and al-Qaeda-inspired responses coming from places like Pakistan. Now, where this guy was captured, Abbottabad, I've been there several times, a lot of military presence there. This is going to raise a lot of questions about what Pakistan may or may not have known. Abbottabad is not in the tribal areas. And regarding Lashkar-e-Taiba, that organization had also really come to change. The problem with Lashkar is that it's not just India's problem. It is continuing to attract Americans who go there and train. We've had several Lashkar-e-Taiba cells actually here in the country, in our country.
Wow.
So I don't feel comfortable saying that it's simply India's problem. And in fact, you recall that American citizens were singled out and killed in Mumbai. So, like I said, I am really glad that this SOB is dead and that we have his body. Make no mistake about it. But also make no mistake that this does not mean that Americans have to stop caring about this particular brand of terrorism.
I can imagine a Twitter on your Twitter feed, Christine Fair, OBLSOB. Christine Fair joins us from Washington, D.C., assistant professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown. Lydia Khalil, what do you make of the methodical nature of this whole counterterrorism operation? You know the details of these kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a closely held, of course, type of operation. I think they did an excellent job. Obviously, I've heard it took no more than 40 minutes to get the job done. They've been sitting on this intelligence and trying to find exactly the right time in order to strike, and it was a huge victory for people in the armed forces and intelligence and in counterterrorism. And as someone who's worked in that field for a long time, I'm really proud of everyone who was involved, and it's a real vindication of all the hard work that my colleagues have been doing internationally and in the United States and in the New York Police Department where I worked. It really is a good day because, you know, victories in the intelligence world and the counterterrorism world are few and far between. A lot of times the work is hidden. It isn't out in the open. So this is a really good day, I think, for people who've been fighting the good fight for a long time.
Lydia Khalil, former counterterrorism analyst at the NYPD, a senior administration official who briefed reporters at the White House early this morning, said that among the most sensitive details was how they turned the identity of this trusted bin Laden courier, that it took years, and he wouldn't even talk about how. What goes through your mind?
That's not surprising. I mean, we have had a bounty of $25 million on Osama bin Laden's head, and no one had given him up for 10 years. So it's not surprising that it took a long time to turn people who were closest to him. And the fact that our intelligence and counterterrorism officials were able to do so really is a testament to the good work that they put forward.
How do you think they did it? How do you think they did it?
Just time and patience and methodically cultivating contacts. You know, there's always been a debate in the intelligence community and in counterterrorism whether human intelligence is more important versus, you know, the technological breakthroughs that we've had with SIGINT and, you know, drone strikes. And this really shows us that this was probably good old-fashioned human intelligence work, investigative work, detective work, interrogation work that bore fruit so many years later.
Lydia Khalil, former counterterrorism analyst at the New York Police Department, online from Australia. Lydia, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Christine Fair is still with us. Final thought, Christine, before we go?
Boy, like I said, the fact that this took place in Abbottabad, which is very near premier Pakistan military training academy, just raises more questions than it really answers.
And we'll be focusing on those questions all morning long here on The Takeaway. Christine Fair, assistant professor at the Center for Peace and Security Studies at Georgetown University, on the line from Washington, D.C. Part of our reaction as the world learns that Osama bin Laden is dead, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. We've been reporting all morning, and you can see photos and videos of some of the celebrations around the world, particularly Times Square here in New York, down at Ground Zero. You can head to thetakeaway.org. We're going to leave you this hour with some voices reacting yesterday and this morning, as well as from over the years.
I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of al-Qaeda.
Our terrorism against America is a good terrorism.
Osama is the key. We got the guy, and that's it. Nothing more after this. Osama is dead. We are done with the war on terrorism.
When will the United States pull out of Afghanistan?
Osama bin Laden is just one person. He is representative of networks of people.
Al-Qaeda is not finished. Our war against terrorism must continue.
The Prime Minister of Australia there, Julia Gillard, Of course, our coverage will continue as well. Add your voice to the story. Call 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Huckenberry. Celeste Headlee is live on the scene at Ground Zero. This is The Takeaway.